Are you looking to modernize your veterinary practice by offering virtual care to pet owners? Fortunately, there's an easy solution from the podcast sponsor, Medici. That's M-E-D-I-C-I. Medici is a telehealth solution built for veterinarians. I've made it easy to check out Medici with a link in the show notes, or you can head over to their website, medici.md, or call 512-967-6454 to learn more. Medici lets you text, call, and video chat with clients with their easy-to-use app. Send or receive images and videos of pets, stay VCPR compliant, and get paid, which is always a wonderful thing, for delivering convenient care right from your phone.
Hi, this is Dr. Aaron Smiley, and I've offered telemedicine to my clients since I started. In 2017, I integrated paid telemedicine with Medici.
Ready to go virtual? Visit medici.md, that's M-E-D-I-C-I.md, or call 512-967-6454 to learn more. And with that, here's the show. Welcome to the Veterinary Success Podcast. My name is Isaiah Douglas. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Meredith Jones, an emergency veterinarian, as well as a financial coach. So with that, Dr. Jones, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Isaiah. It's great to be here.
So can you share kind of your veterinary medicine story, how you got to where you're at today? And then we'll touch a little bit more on some of the things you're doing from the financial coaching and an exciting new project you're working on as well later on. And I'll tease that early, but can you kind of explain your story to how you became a DVM and why and where you're at today?
Sure. So I'm one of those veterinarians who wanted to be a vet from a very young age. I decided at 10 years old that I wanted to be a vet. And prior to that, I wanted to be a teacher, actually. My parents bred toy poodles when I was little. So we always had a lot of dogs and sometimes puppies in the house. And I've just always really loved animals. And I became interested in biology and medicine from a really young age. And so I graduated from North Carolina State in 2008. And then I did an internship. I rotated between two emergency specialty hospitals in Connecticut. And as far as becoming an emergency vet, I actually had really very little exposure to emergency work prior to my internship. And during my internship, discovered that I really enjoy working in a high-paced environment and challenging working with challenging cases, and I wanted to be able to continue to use the skills that I learned on my internship. So I decided to continue doing emergency work so I could continue working with the more critical and complicated cases.
And so where are you at today as far as your location?
Yes. So I've worked actually for almost 10 years now at the same emergency specialty practice outside of Richmond, Virginia. It's called Veterinary Referral and Critical Care. And so I work with internal medicine and surgeons, and we have a neurologist as well.
Cool. I know that that's always a question that I'll get is, you know, make sure you ask and understand if someone's a veterinarian, kind of their story, but also where they're at today and what they're doing. So I appreciate the extra information. One thing and an exciting note that you are over 2,000 members now, but you started the debt-free veterinarian Facebook group. Can you share the why you decided to start it and the growth that you've seen and how long it's been around?
Sure, absolutely. So if we go back a little bit to when I was working on paying off my student debt, I was able to pay it off in about 3.5 years once I got serious about it. And I had about 120,000. So I had some advantages that the newer graduates these days don't have. So we had lower interest rates on our student loans when I was in vet school. I had some subsidized loans, which of course are no longer available to grad students, and my husband had an income. And so I put a laser focus on paying it off as quickly as possible. And during that time, I spent a lot of time reading and just learning as much as I could about personal finance. And in 2016, I decided to take a financial coaching course. And that was the same year that there were many articles coming out about student debt and increasing debt to income ratios affecting the veterinary profession. And that was the year of the Fix the Debt Summit as well. And so initially I had thought, well, I'll take this financial coaching course and I'll help some nonprofits. But then I decided that there was really this void where vets and other people were recognizing that student debt was a problem and personal finance was a pain point in the profession, but vets weren't talking amongst themselves about it. And so the idea with the Facebook group was to create a place where these conversations could take place and where we could support one another and talk about money rather than it staying as a taboo subject. And so it's been amazing how it's grown over the past 3 years. We started very small. We started with probably about 50 people in the group. And over the past few months, it's really started to grow on its own without really a lot of promotion whatsoever.
So you talked about a financial coaching course. Can you kind of help someone understand what's a financial coach versus, like, you know, you hear financial advisor, financial planner? And the course that you went through was the Dave Ramsey program. Can you share one of the biggest things that you took away from that program or something that maybe helped change your view of money?
Yes. So one thing to understand is that a financial coach is not a financial advisor. So it's not my role to tell someone which mutual funds to invest in, for example. What financial coaches do is they help people get out of debt. They help people budget their money and they give them some tools that they need to start to build wealth. And so examples of what coaches do are they help people create a working budget. They can help people develop a plan for debt payoff when that makes sense and help people to set and prioritize financial goals. And so as we've discussed, certainly there's some overlap between a responsible financial advisor and a financial coach. And as far as one of the biggest things I learned during the program is one of the things that I learned is not to do what they call drive-by coaching. And so that's where you're giving advice without really having all of the right information. And so an analogy to that is when a friend of mine from New York, and I live in Virginia, a friend from New York asked, "Hey, what do I do about my cat who's having this medical problem?" And so I say, "Well, you need to go to your vet." so it's a similar thing, because if I don't have all of the information, then I really can't make a recommendation. And so that's one thing in the program that they really cautioned us to be careful about is giving financial advice without having a complete picture of someone's financial situation and asking all of the right questions. And one thing I really caution vets against is taking student debt advice in particular from each other, because your friend's financial situation may be vastly different from yours, and their student debt situation may be vastly different from yours.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And the same can be said from an advisory perspective, even with just giving, I always say, like, it's really hard to say, "Hey, what should I invest in?" Or "What should I do about this or that?" if you don't have the full history and understanding of where and what that person's going through. Because what could seemingly be good advice for most people could be really detrimental and bad advice for someone else. So that drive-by coaching piece, I will likely swipe that, which is a steal with integrity and pride. I was told that a long time ago. It's like, if you hear a good idea, you gotta swipe it. I think that's great advice, not only from Dave in that program, but just overall with what's going on. And again, your point on the student loan piece, it's not always about doing the exact same thing all the time. There can be some good rules of thumb, but rules of thumb are rules of thumb. They're not always applicable for you and your situation. You and Dr. Grace Kim, so AKA Richer Life DVM, who was a previous guest on the podcast, both spoke at AVMA over the summer. Can you share what you talked about, the experience, lessons learned? Because this was your first kind of presentation in that format, correct?
Yes, it was. Yes. And so Grace Kim and I, we did two talks at AVMA, and one was called Taking Charge of Your Finances with a Cash Flow Plan, which was about budgeting. And our other talk was called Taming the Student Debt Monster. And for both of us, like you said, it was our first public speaking engagement, and it was a great experience. It was a great experience for us to do together as well. And we had a really supportive audience at AVMA, and they asked some great questions, especially after the student debt talk.
That's what I was going to ask. Was there more engagement from one to the other? I know oftentimes people think about budgeting and they think it's constricting and it's boring and it's going to not allow them to go buy, a Starbucks cup of coffee or something else like that, to where they won't be able to live and have fun, and their friends are going to look at them like, they're the weirdo. So I was just curious your feedback from the different presentations.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And during the budgeting talk, I actually told them, I said, you can buy lattes. If that's something that adds to your life, you can budget for lattes, and that's the whole thing, is that people can create their budget around what's important to them in their lives.
I don't know if anyone that would listen to this has ever heard of Jocko Willick, but he's come out and done a lot with podcasts and writing books. And he talks about how discipline equals freedom. I think that's a lot with a budget. So if you think about being disciplined with finances and your budget, that'll give you the freedom and flexibility to do a lot of other things in your life. So that, I think that's a great way to look at it. And I've used that analogy before. Some people know who he is, others don't. But he's a really intense guy. If you ever need a motivation early in the morning, he's one of those people. But what do you think, and maybe it's outside of student loan debt, is the most overlooked financial topic for young veterinarians? And if student loan debt is your answer, we can dive back into that. But any thoughts?
Yes. So one soapbox that I'll step onto for young veterinarians is to get disability insurance as soon as possible and get it while you're young. One thing to keep in mind is that you may love this profession and want to work in it for a very long time, but there's no guarantee that you'll be healthy enough to do so. I know vets who have been diagnosed with cancer or a chronic autoimmune disease before the age of 40. And of course, that's going to limit your ability to get disability insurance, or it's going to increase the premium for that insurance. And so the sooner you can get disability insurance, and ideally own occupation, long-term disability insurance, the better.
I think that's great advice. I will link to an article, and yes, it is a little bit of self-promotion, but I did write about, the things to look for in a disability policy. It's also important to know that, especially coming out of school, there's a lot of people that want to sell you stuff, and insurance is typically up there. Disability is so important because if you look at the longevity of your earnings, really, really valuable. It's your most valuable asset. If you think about it, you insure your house, your car, those pale in comparison to the earning power that you have. And you want to make sure it's a good policy. It's something that, just like shoes and maybe a mattress, you don't want to go cheap on these type of things. There's certain things where a discount's great and you want something that's, more affordable. Disability insurance, it's really important to have something that's reputable, true ONOC, that covers you, because if you're paying for something that's cheaper but doesn't actually cover what you need, it's literally worthless. And that is an issue that I've seen where, again, I get it. You're coming out a lot of student loan debt, other challenges, and you're trying to save and make sure that you're able to pay all the bills and live a life and this or that. Well, to your point, Meredith, it's so important to have a quality, strong policy early on. Get it, because God only knows what will happen to someone over the course of their life.
I agree.
And disability typically affects more people and is more important than life insurance, yet almost everyone has life insurance. And a lot of people want to skimp on disability, even though that is likely one of the bigger things that could happen to them.
Yes, there's definitely, there's a higher percentage of vets who will be affected, and people in general who will be affected by disability, than the number who will die early.
Last point on that, just from the standpoint of getting younger versus older, there was someone non-veterinarian that was looking at getting disability insurance, and the cost on it was outrageous. So I did it as a percentage of their income, and it was 15% of their income, of their paycheck would have been going to disability. And it just didn't make sense at that point. They should just continue to save it. Now, again, going back to the incentive for someone behind selling that, they were really talking up how great this was going to be and why it was really important, utilizing some of the same things we just talked about. But there are certain situations, depending on how much it costs, there is a trade-off between the value of having it versus the probability of it happening. So younger, it'll be much more palatable, much more affordable. But I'll link to kind of the things to look for in a policy. And yeah, I would just make sure you do your homework on which ones are quality and which ones maybe aren't. So shifting gears a little bit, you have an exciting new project that you've been working on for a while, which I felt very honored to hear about early on. Can you share a little bit about what the project is? And we'll dive into maybe a little bit more from the specifics here in a second. But can you just, from a high level, share what's going on?
Yes, I'm so excited to talk about this. I have a new project called Veterinary Financial Summit. And so to give you some background, I attended the Uncharted Veterinary Conference, which it was launched by Dr. Andy Rourke, who is just amazing. And I went to that conference in April and met a lot of exceptional people there. And one of those people was Phil Zeltzman, who is a board certified surgeon in Pennsylvania, among a lot of other entrepreneurial things. And we both have a passion for personal finance and started challenging each other with asking, how can we help more people? How can we help more of our colleagues to learn about personal finance? And so we decided to launch the first ever financial conference dedicated to veterinary professionals. And our plan is to have a weekly blog. We're going to have an online community with webinars where we're interviewing financial experts and practice management experts. We're going to have discussion groups, and the first conference, the first summit, will take place in next fall in Dallas, Texas.
And then do you have any thoughts around like the content that you want to cover? Is it going to be kind of a branching off of the information that you and Dr. Kim talked about at like AVMA? So more on student loans and personal finance and making those decisions? Like what do you envision it developing into, or the content that you'd like to offer?
It's going to be everything related to personal finance and related to practice finance to some extent as well. So we will have lectures and resources talking about student debt, but we're also going to be focusing on, for example, what do you need to know if you're interested in starting a practice? If you're a practice owner and you're interested in looking at exit strategies, what are your options? We're going to be looking at how to prioritize various financial goals, because of course, every veterinarian has multiple financial goals that they would like to pursue in life. Everyone would like to retire before they turn 90. everyone would like to be able to afford to go on vacation and do certain things in life. And many vets would like to start a practice and want to know what are the things that they need to do to get there.
I think it's a fantastic and an awesome offering. I'm excited to see, as you know, more details come out about it. Again, it's a new venture, and anytime you try to start a conference, I know we talked offline, a lot of the challenges of making something like that happen. It's a huge undertaking, and it's not something that is done overnight. And I know you've worked on it for quite a long time. So I'll say it for everyone, whether they're listening and those attending, like, thank you for all you're doing, because that sounds like a great resource. And it's very different than a lot of the other conferences that are out there where, you know, maybe you're just going to get CE. And again, the medicine part is so important. And that's where a lot of the passion is. But to break the taboo subject of talking about money and helping the industry continue to have the ability to stay private, or people to, you know, still aspire to be a practice owner, like, you are helping empower that. And I don't think there's anything more important today in the community than making sure that stuff still happens. So thank you.
Sure. And one of our goals too is it's going to be a small conference. And so we're really wanting this to be a community atmosphere where everyone's learning from one another.
Not necessarily going to get lost in the aisles of various vendors and people that are there, like some of the other bigger shows, which they all serve a purpose. It's not saying that those aren't as good or there's anything that's better than others. It's just a different approach, which I think, you know, trying to do a Me Too type of conference is not going to attract the people that you want to attract. You want to do something very different. And that sounds to me like what you're doing.
Yes, is the goal is to bring together colleagues that are like-minded and have a really a truly community atmosphere.
So we've gone through a number of different things. Is there any topics or items that maybe I failed to ask about that you think is really important to address around whether it's the conference, the financial coaching, student loan debt, debt-free, anything like that that you want to discuss or elaborate on?
That's a good question. And I will say another comment that I like to emphasize related to student debt is there's a lot of discussion about debt-to-income ratio. And so debt-to-income ratio is defined as the ratio between student debt and income. But one thing that I see overlooked to some extent is, what about married vets? So if you're a vet who has a spouse who also earns an income, and of course that spouse may or may not have their own student debt, but overall you really should be focusing not on your individual debt to income ratio, but on the household debt to income ratio. And doing that can make the difference between deciding whether to go for forgiveness versus paying off your student debt as quickly as possible.
Not to dive into too many of the details, but the different repayment plans, some of them will capture just that veterinarian's income versus the household as a whole. And there's a lot of options. And as we've talked offline, and I would encourage everyone, if you've not checked out the VIN calculator for student loan debt, it's a wonderful, wonderful tool. A lot of other professions, as you talked about, Meredith, use it because it's been so well designed. It's a big resource. So make sure, you know, if you're having those discussions and thinking about it, look at the tool. You'll learn something. Travis Hornsby, an early guest from the Student Loan Planner, has a lot of quality content on his website. He has more blog articles around student loan debt for veterinarians than any other profession. So there's so many great resources. And I know it can be overwhelming, but those would be two that I would point you to, because there can be some misinformation at times that's out there floating on the internet. I know, surprise, surprise. But those are two areas that I would highly encourage someone to check out as they're evaluating what option to take moving forward. So the podcast is all about success. I think defining success for each individual, as you talked about, everyone has their own unique goals. How would you define success in your personal life? And then how do you look about it in your professional life as well?
Sure. So I'm an emergency vet, and it's a job that can be stressful. And so there's no way around it. By its very nature, it can be unpredictable and chaotic. And so one of the ways that I define success in my personal life is around setting boundaries between work life and personal life. And I believe to survive, especially as an emergency vet, it's absolutely crucial to learn how to separate those. And setting boundaries, it's not just about limiting your time in the office or limiting the number of phone calls that you take from clients, that sort of thing. It's also about limiting how much your time in practice occupies your headspace as you're navigating other areas of your life. And so that's its own journey, and no one is perfect at it. But I feel like I'm successful in my personal life when those boundaries are in place and I can enjoy my time with my husband and do things that we enjoy doing together, like traveling and cooking and those sorts of things. So with Veterinary Financial Summit, if we can achieve our goals of providing education about financial topics and helping to clear the confusion surrounding money topics and help vets to make decisions about personal finance and to some extent practice finance, and really just continue to open up a dialogue and have a positive impact in the profession, those are not small goals, but I believe that every step we take toward those goals is a success.
It's a big undertaking. There's a lot to unpack with that. But yeah, I think instead of just saying, yes, this is a problem, working to address it, Like that's an awesome goal and a great way to think about success. And it's hard to measure that. Like, how do you measure success of people coming to the conference? And you might not hear all the stories that come back of the people that are able to change their lives, but I hope you do, because that will help motivate you to continue to keep it running and growing and you know, iterating over time, because the first one is going to be hard. Second one's going to be hard, and it will slowly get easier as you get your feet underneath you. But no, those are two awesome goals of success. And I personally just love listening to anyone define success, because we all define it differently. So I appreciate that. Finally, what's the best way? So we talked about the debt-free vet Facebook group, great way to get connected to you. What are other ways to follow your work, stay in touch, ask about, you know, the coaching program, everything that you do and work towards? Again, I know that you talked about boundaries and having a personal life. How can people get connected to you, ask questions, and learn more about what you're doing?
The website for the summit is vetfinancialsummit.com. So you can look for us there. And we have a newsletter and a weekly blog that we'll be sending out. So you can go there to sign up. And so that's really going to be the best way to follow along. And you'll also get updates on the conference we have coming up.
Perfect. I appreciate it so much. Thank you for your time. And I'm excited to see how the Vet Financial Summit turns out. And hopefully I can make it down to Dallas in 2020.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we'd love to have you.
Thanks for listening to today's show. The comments made on today's show should not be taken as investment, tax, or legal advice. All comments are for educational purposes only. You should talk to your professional team before implementing anything. Isaiah is the founder of ID Financial Planning and Wealth Management. Isaiah is a registered investment advisor in the state of Indiana. The biggest compliment you can give is to share this podcast with a friend. Reviews help the show get found, and Apple Podcasts is a platform that is predominantly how people listen to the show. If you have 3 minutes, love the show, head over to Apple Podcasts and give us an honest review and rating. That'll help more people find the show. For all of today's links and information, head over to the veterinarysuccesspodcast.com. There you can also subscribe via your favorite podcast platform so you won't miss another episode. Finally, if you'd like more information and insights and the ability to have your voice heard, please consider joining the private podcast Facebook group. You can search for the Veterinarian Success Podcast on Facebook or head over to the veterinarysuccesspodcast.com. Scroll down to the About Your Host and click on the Facebook icon. Then I can approve you, let you into the group, and would love to hear from you there. Thanks for listening, and I'll be talking again to you soon.